This morning's Sunday school public reading came from Psalm number 70. When you make a sandwich, you take normally, in the olden days, two slices of bread. And depending upon what you're going to make, either a bologna and cheese or maybe a sliced tomato with mayo or the old standard peanut butter and jelly. So you have the two pieces of bread. And then you simply slap on whatever you're going to put on. It may be the cheese, the bologna, the lettuce, and then a slice of tomato, maybe a pickle. And then on the other side, you put down the mayo, the mustard, whatever sauce. And then you put it together, and then you consume it. Well, if you notice, we have a sandwich. We have a sandwich here. Look at verse 1. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. So that's the first slice of bread to this sandwich. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, it's quite evident that when David composed this short psalm, or this short hymn, he was a man on the run again. Someone's out to get him. There is a bullseye on David's back and maybe on the chest. Now look at verse 5. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Basically, Lord, don't extend the time of the pickle that I'm in. Two slices of bread. But between the slices of bread is the meat of the psalm. Verse 2. Notice, first he addresses as the meat of the sandwich his enemy to his God. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Notice how David is addressing God as his avenger. We are told that vengeance belongs unto the Lord. And it's very easy for you and I when we're confronted by an enemy. Now, David was being assaulted by the king at the time, King Saul, the first king of Israel, and the resources that the king had behind him. Now remember, King Saul had an army, well equipped. He had the taxes that were being raised by the common folk to sustain that army, make sure that they were properly prepared, properly fed, had all the right equipment to go after David. David was on his own. Matter of fact, on one occasion, David went to the priest, the high priest at that time, and his 600 men that were with David were famished. They were hungry. So David seeks solace and comfort from the high priest at that time. And the high priest does something that was not supposed to be done. The 12 loaves of bread on the table of showbread that represented each of the 12 tribes, that high priest turned over that bread to David and his men just to sustain them. Something else the high priest did. The high priest still had Goliath's sword that David had killed earlier. And the high priest gave that sword to David. And then David takes off running. Well, there was a dude called, Doeg. He was an eyewitness of that exchange. He went back to King Saul and dropped a dime on the priest. He squealed. Saul comes to the high priest and says, aiding and abetting my enemy. You know what King Saul did? Except for one son, he killed every priest on the spot for helping David. That's found in the book of Samuel. David was on the run. And notice, even though David had a small army, he knew that the bigger general, the bigger one with all the means to destroy Saul, was in glory. Notice, he appeals to God. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion. Notice, that desire of my hurt. Now, beloved, you may have individuals that have come and gone in your life. It may be a family member. It may be a neighbor. It may be a co-worker. Maybe a college professor who didn't like you because you were a Bible thumper. Or because you wear a MAGA hat. Or Make America Great hat. And they don't like you. And they try to go out of their way to make you look bad in front of people. They put words in your mouth you never said. They accuse you of doing things you never did to make your life miserable. So what do you do with a person like that? Well, you can, I would imagine you can confront them and ask them, what's up? Why do you hate me? What have I done to you? Is there anything I need to apologize? And when you exhaust all of those means and they're still cantankerous, you know what you do? You simply take them and say, Lord, here's my enemy. You deal with them. It's out of my hands. I will shed no man's blood, and I will not assassinate another person's character. They're in your hands. Well, let God take care of them. That's what David is doing. Watch more of the sanguine. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. What happens when you're in school and you happen to give the wrong answer to the teacher's question and everybody just turns and they laugh you to scorn? Ha, ha, ha. That's what that means. The snickering. Aha, aha. You Christians claim that you believe the Bible to be the Word of God. Aha, aha. Your Jesus died naked on a cross as a worthy criminal against the state. Aha, aha. David here is telling the Lord, these people mock me with the aha, aha. Lord, they're in your hands. But now notice the other part of the sandwich. Verse 4. Notice the shift. He first addresses his God. I need help. And you're the only one that can help me. These are the people that are on my back. Okay? And thus I give them to you. Notice the other part of the sandwich. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Notice the 180 shift. On the first part of the sandwich, in the center, in the meat, he complains. He's whining. He's venting. And that's good. Christians need to do that vent to God. But then notice the switch. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. David was not going to allow his adversaries, listen carefully. David was not going to allow his adversaries to stifle his own relationship with his God. Again, what would it take for you and I to deny Jesus? A couple of enemies on our tail? David had an entire king with an army behind him, chasing him. And David was not going to use that as an excuse to simply say, no more God for me. Serving you is too big of a pill to swallow. You simply demand too much. God in heaven, you simply want me to do the impossible. No more for me. I laid the cross of Christ. I lay my Bible down and I close it. I no longer attend church. I no longer will fellowship with other Christians. I give up my faith because of the adversaries behind me. David said no. He said, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad. David is a seeker for what? Deliverance. He needs God's help. He needs divine intervention. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Versus David looking at King Saul with this huge army of well-equipped and well-fed men coming after David. He said what? Let God be magnified, not my enemies, not my adversaries. I am not going to magnify them over my God, who deserves to be magnified. And then the other slice of bread, he comes back to reality. I'm poor and needy. Contemporary Christianity in the United States is like the Laodicean church I shared with you in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. The church told Jesus, we are rich and have need of nothing. And then Jesus tells the angel to write and then give that message to John. You tell that church in Laodicea, you are blind, poor, naked, and miserable. That was heaven's diagnosis of that church in the first century in the city of Laodicea in the ancient province of Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. Notice the church saw itself as rich and in need of nothing. And I shared with you that that city was devastatedly destroyed by a massive earthquake on or around the writing of the book of Revelation. And the Roman Caesar gave them a big check to rebuild. These people were so rich and so prosperous, they sent the check back to Rome and rebuilt the city of Laodicea on their own back, on their own dime, and then bragged about it. That's why you find the church in that chapter 3. We are rich and need of nada. We need no one, not even you, the Most High God. And Jesus tells them, church, poor, blind, naked, and miserable. And what did he tell that same church? Unless you change your ways, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And today, on a Holy Land tour, they can take you to that city, and all that you see are ruins of that rich city, which is no more. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.